Welcome to the radio broadcast. It's time, Christ in Your Ministries. This is Brother Randy, a voice crying to the end time remnant, body of Christ. Now let us enter into the sanctuary and hear what the voice of the Lord is saying to our hearts.
God bless you. God bless you. This is Evangelist Randy Brollo, and I'm glad that we could come into your home, into your place of business, wherever you are, whatever it is that you're doing. We pray that you would stop and listen and hear the voice of the Lord as God is speaking through the scriptures, through the prophetic word of the Lord this day, and that your ears will be open and your eyes will be open to the teaching that God has placed into the spirit of this man here, talking about the spirit of Jezebel and exposing that wicked spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel is alive today. Jezebel was alive many years ago. And as we read today in the book of Revelation, God rebukes the church for allowing the spirit of Jezebel to be taught in the congregation. Yes, teaching to seduce my servants, the Bible says. And so we have this fornication, we have this adultery spirit in the churches today. We have it in the home. We have this spirit on our job. We have this spirit in government. We have this spirit in the marketplace. And so God wants us to have discernment, to recognize when the spirit of Jezebel is operating in a person. You will see through the scriptures, as God reveals it to you, you'll actually see someone that this teaching is being taught to you. You'll understand it's not the person, but it's the spirit inside the person, that the person is operating in that spirit. And what, as we move and have our being in Christ, we move and have our being and have the attributes of Jesus Christ. You see, when we yield our members to righteousness, we become more like God. We become more like Jesus Christ. We become the sons of God. You cannot have the word of God in your head and not hide it in your heart that you will not sin against God. When you hide the word in your heart, when you become a doer of the word of God, now you move and you have your being in Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You look like Christ. You have the attributes of Jesus. The disciples had the attributes of Jesus as they followed him. For the soldiers told Peter, said, "Hey, you look like one of his disciples." Did Peter have on a sweatshirt saying, "I'm a follower of Jesus"? Did Peter have a wristband on saying, "I'm a follower of Jesus"? Did Peter have a Bible in his hand? No, because they didn't have the Bible in that time. No, they didn't have sweatshirts in those days and wristbands. He looked like Jesus because when you're in the presence of the Lord, you have that glow. You have the Shekinah glory coming upon you. You have the fruit of the Spirit coming out of you, the fruit of peace and love and joy and gentleness. And you begin to look more and more like Christ. Christ in you. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You look different. You talk different. You act different. You don't laugh at dirty jokes. You have discernment. You know that which is good and that which is evil. And you eat from the tree of goodness. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. So we've been teaching about the spirit of Jezebel and exposing that wicked spirit. Jezebel is a wicked spirit. Jezebel wants to usurp authority. Jezebel wants to break up homes. Jezebel, it can be in a male or female. And when you recognize the spirit of Jezebel in a person, take no nonsense from that spirit, but bind that spirit up and cast it out in the name of Jesus. We're not to play with that spirit. We're not to play with any evil spirit. We are to have authority and take dominion over evil spirits. Yes, we are to walk in love, but there's a time for war and there's a time for peace. And there's a time to fight the good fight of faith, and there's a time to defend the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And that's what we're to do as true Christians of the body of Christ. You see, many today are so-called Christians. Many today are phony Christians. Many today are pseudo-Christians. Many today are watered-down Christians. Many today confess that Jesus is in their life, but there's no fruit that's evident in their life. Many today said that they are born again Christians, but they are weak Christians. They have no backbone. They don't stand up for that which is right. They don't stand up for the truth because they don't have the Word of God deeply rooted down in their heart, and they're afraid. They're timid, just like the disciples when before they received the power of the Holy Ghost, when they went up into the upper room, and it was God used the women. God uses women today. God used the women to be the first evangelist to proclaim he is risen. Jesus is not dead, but he is risen. And so even today we have many who are not proclaiming the truth of God because they know in their hearts they don't really have a good relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you have a relationship with the Lord and you really love the Lord, whatever your calling is in life, you know, he gave some to be prophets. He gave some to be apostles. He gave some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers. The fivefold ministry. Not all are called to the fivefold ministry. But you have a purpose and you have a destiny in Christ, whatever it is that God has called you to do. And once you know who you are, and once you know what your calling is, and once you know what the Lord has spoken to your heart for you to do. You might be a nurse. You might be a person that delivers the mail. You might be a school teacher. You know, you might be working on a sanitation truck. Whatever it is that God has called you to do and to be all that you can be in Christ Jesus. And so we are not to walk in the likeness of our flesh and likeness of Satan and the likeness of a Jezebel spirit. A Jezebel spirit is a wicked, wicked spirit. We're going to talk about Ahab's uppity arrogance, and we're going to talk about Jezebel's taking advantage of Ahab's when he got depressed over something that he really wanted but he couldn't have. And so Jezebel usurped his authority. And that's what Jezebel will do. Whenever you run into a person, it might be a husband or it might be a wife, that usurps the authority over the other person, that is a Jezebel spirit in the home. That is a Jezebel spirit on the job. Yes, the man is to be the head of the house. But when the man doesn't take his rightful place in the house, and when the wife begins to usurp his authority and goes ahead and does things without his permission, she is usurping the authority and the headship of the home. That is a Jezebel spirit. That's not my word, but it's the word of the Lord. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the voice of the Lord is saying. The Bible is not the only place that records Ahab's tempestuous testimony. Josephus, who was an historian, who, as a matter of fact, he lived from 37 A.D. to about 100 A.D. and was a member of the priesthood of the Jews. And the Jews give him some important insight. I mean, he gave the Jews some important insight unto Ahab's dealings with Naboth. Josephus. As well. Upon this, the king was grieved as if he had received an injury. See, and you're gonna understand as we get into what was being said here, why he was grieved. And we want you to notice that, first of all, that Ahab was distressed. And Ahab was when he could not get another man's possession. You see, he wanted something so bad that he couldn't get it. It got him sick. It got him sick. There's some people out there, they want things so bad. They want the worldly things so bad that they'll work and work and work and work and work and work until they put themselves in the hospital to get what they want. and they'll get it by any means necessary. But Ahab was really sick and distressed, and when he could not get another man's possession, it grieved him almost like he had been wounded somehow, and he would neither wash himself nor take any food. Now, that's being really depressed. When you don't eat and you don't wash yourself, you're at a low, low point in your life. And when Jezebel asked him what was troubling him, he related to her the perverseness of Naboth and how his response was beneath the royal authority. Note, the king's Ahab's uppity arrogance, his attitude was, how dare Naboth, that mere peon, refuse me? You know, that's the way some people are. You know, and they say, hey, I made you an offer. How dare you not take this offer that I'm offering you? Who are you? You know, I am who I am. You know, there's some people who are so high-minded that they look low. They look at another person as being low. How dare you talk to me that way? Don't you realize I'm the bishop here? I'm the pastor here? And they look down at people. His attitude was that of arrogance. How dare Naboth, that mere peon, refuse me? In his thinking, Naboth was an insignificant drudge who should realize his place as one bound as a servitude to the king. Ahab said that Naboth's response to him was beneath the royal authority, thus revealing a deep pride in his heart. You see, pride is destruction. When you walk in pride, you are soon to be destroyed. Pride is of Lucifer. Pride is of the Jezebel spirit also, because Jezebel walks in the spirit of pride. And so when Jezebel discovered that Ahab had a deep depression, Jezebel was ready and waiting to make her move. Josephus, that's funny. However, Jezebel persuaded him not to be cast down at this accident, but to leave off his grief and return to his usual care for his body, for that she would take care of it for him. You see, don't worry about it. Don't stress yourself over this. You just go on about your daily routine. I'll take care of this for you. You see? And that's what Jezebel does. She waits to take care of a situation that she really doesn't have any authority. But she wants that authority. She wants to usurp the authority of the authority. And so she says, honey, don't worry about it. I'll take care of Naboth for you. And so she did. The next text reveals that Jezebel immediately sent letters to the rulers of the Israelites in Ahab's name. And you see, when those letters were sent, a spirit went with those letters, made the recipient of the letters to tremble, because Jezebel can send a message. She can send a message through a letter. She can send a message through a court appearance. She can send a message through a lawyer. She can send a message through children. She can send a message through police officers. She can send a message during a counseling session, and it will cause chaos, cause fear, cause trembling, cause confusion, and it will have the other person wondering, what in the world did I do? What is going on here? And so she sent these letters, and she sent them in the name of Ahab. The spirit of Jezebel is an opportunist. She looks for any and every occasion to usurp your authority. Jezebel is watching. Jezebel is waiting for that moment when you are distraught and depressed, that you will hand her your authority over on a silver platter. If you slip into a state of depression, be sure to guard yourself from the Jezebel spirit. Never give Jezebel your authority or let her represent you. And Jezebel commanded them to fast and to assemble. You see, she's very religious. She commanded them to fast and to assemble the congregation and to set Naboth at the head of them because he was of an illustrious family. You see, she had three bold men all ready to bear witness that Naboth had blasphemed God and the king. See, she can set you up in a situation to make you look bad. And then to stone him and to slay him in that matter. Accordingly, when Naboth had been thus testified against, as the queen had written to them. See, she sent letters of false accusations, false statements. Jezebel will do that. Jezebel will do that for you that are listening in a situation in a courtroom. Jezebel will do that in a situation if the police come knocking on your door and asking you questions because of the accusations of Jezebel. Jezebel will do that in the church, accuse you falsely. You must be aware of false accusations from a Jezebel spirit. And you must not give your authority over to the Jezebel spirit. And so we see that Jezebel is plotting against Naboth to get what she desires to have, which is authority, to give to the king what he desires, which is Naboth's vineyard. He wants the possessions of Naboth. And so we see here that Jezebel is a wicked spirit. Here we learn that she will stop at nothing to reach her goals, even the murder of an innocent man. Jezebel set up Naboth with false accusation. What a wicked spirit. Then Jezebel had Naboth murdered and stole his property from him. Has Jezebel stole anything from you? Has Jezebel stole your home? Has Jezebel stole your business? Has Jezebel stole your inheritance? Jezebel is a murderer, and Ahab, by his inactions to stop her, is a murderer also. So anyone who is associated with Jezebel and partners with Jezebel becomes a part of the Jezebel spirit. Jezebel didn't care about Naboth's family or his right to preserve his inheritance, and she doesn't care about yours either. I wonder how many people have lost family inheritance because Jezebel robbed them. I suspect it's pretty common, especially now in our perverse society where the abandonment of children is so prevalent. You've lost families because of the Jezebel spirit. You lost property because of the Jezebel spirit. Because you got depressed and you gave up. And you didn't want to fight the good fight because you were so weak and you felt like you were all alone and you had no help. You didn't know where to turn. You had no money for an attorney. You had no money for counseling. So you just left. You just ran away. Just like Elijah the prophet. He ran and hid and got very depressed because of Jezebel. There is another interesting more note about Naboth. His name means fruitful one. Naboth, N-A-B-O-T-H. His name means fruitful one. Jezebel cannot stand the fruit of the Spirit in a believer's life. If you're living godly, if you're living and walking in peace, you're walking in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the Jezebel spirit in a person sees that and hates that and will stand at nothing to get you to bow down to her, to bow down to the spirit of Satan, to walk in your flesh, to give up and give in. Jezebel now cannot stand the fruit of the Spirit in a believer's life. Just as Jezebel destroyed the fruitful one, she is also after the fruit of the Spirit of God in your life. She wants to rob you of your joy. She wants to rob you of your peace. And she wants to rob you of your love and rob you of your faith. You see, that is her main objection. To destroy you. Jezebel destroys the home. And we were beginning to talk about that at the last session here on exposing the wicked spirit of Jezebel, which can go into much depth. So we're going to have a series of this spirit. And we're not saying that the Jezebel spirit is the total reason for the fatherless generation. But the Jezebel spirit does break up the home, can be responsible for breaking up the home where the father is not present. And when the father's not there, then the whole family goes chaotic. They're not fruitful and they will not multiply. It causes many single mothers to be the head of the house. And this is not the way God has planned the family to be. God has never planned for the mother to be the mother, the father, the brother, and the sister. She has to be a friend. She has to be everything and go to work too. And so we see our society, how it has really backslidden and has become very perverse. Going to give you some statistics on the fatherless generation. Not going to bore you, but if you're really in the spirit, this should enlighten you and to help you to understand how the Jezebel spirit works in people and what it causes, how it's a rippling effect. According to statistics, 63 of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. This is from the U.S. Department of Health and Census, 5 times the average. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes, 32 times the average. 85% of all children who show behavior disorder come from fatherless homes, 20 times the average, according to the Center for Disease Control. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes, 14 times the average. This is from the Justice Behavior. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes, 9 times the average, according to the National Principals Association report. Father factor in education. Fatherless children are twice as likely to drop out of school. Children with fathers who are involved are 40% less likely to repeat in a grade school. Children with fathers who are involved are 70% less likely to drop out of school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to get A's in school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to enjoy school and engage in extracurricular activities. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from the fatherless homes, 10 times the average. You see, the absence of the father causes many situations in our everyday life. Yes, the father factor in crime. A study of 109 juvenile offenders indicated that family structure significantly predicts delinquency. Adolescents, particularly boys in single-parent homes, were at higher risk of status, property, and personal delinquencies. Moreover, students attending schools with a high proportion of children of single parents are also at risk. A study of 13,986 women in prison showed that more than half grew up without their father. 42% grew up in a single mother household, and 16% live with neither parent. I don't know how you feel about that, but that is so sad. That saddens my heart. That saddens the heart of God. For God has told us to be fruitful and to multiply. And we live in a society today of fatherless children. And because of the Jezebel spirit that breaks up the home, that breaks up the fruitfulness in the home, this is the result of what takes place because of that spirit. That spirit is alive. That spirit is moving about the earth even as we speak. Yes, father factor in child abuse. Compared to living with both parents, living in a single parent home doubles the risk that a child will suffer physically, emotionally, or educational neglect. The overall rate of child abuse and neglect in a single parent household, listen to this, is 27.3 children per 1,000, whereas the rate of overall maltreatment in two-parent household is 15.5 per 1,000. Daughters of a single parent without a father involved are 53% more likely to marry as teenagers. I'm going to repeat that. Daughters of single parents without a father are involved and more likely to marry 53%, 711% more likely to have children as teenagers, 164% more likely to have premarital birth, and 92% more likely to get divorced themselves. 92% more likely to get divorced themselves. Listen to this. According to statistics at the Department of Census, adolescent girls raised in a two-parent home with involved fathers are significantly less likely to be sexually active than girls raised without fathers. 43% of U.S. children live without their father in a U.S. home. 90% of homeless and runaway children, 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. That's amazing. 90%. 80% of rapists motivated and displaced anger come from the fatherless homes. 80%. 71% of pregnant teenagers lack a father. 71%. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 85% of children who exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. This is from the Center for Disease Control. 90% of adolescent repeat arsonists live with only their mother. 71% of high school dropouts, as we said before, comes from the fatherless homes. And 75% of adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers are from fatherless homes. You see, the absence of the father creates chaos and disorder. And it's so important that we have the father, the headship in the home, the way God has planned it to be. So we encourage fathers. This is not a Father's Day message. This is a message of exposing the spirit, the wicked spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel is a wicked spirit. 70% of juveniles in a state operate institutions have no father. In other words, 70% of the people that are locked up of juveniles are from fatherless homes. 85% of youth are of prisoners, youth in the prisons grew up in a fatherless home. This is from Fulton County in the Georgia population. Fatherless boys and girls are twice as likely to drop out of school, twice as likely to end up in jail, four times more likely to need help for emotional behavioral problems. So we see that the Jezebel spirit causes much chaos when the mother in the home usurps the authority, or when the father is not really doing his job and he's taken over by another spirit, a spirit that makes him feel as though that he's more wanted in another home or another place, and he abandons the home, then we see the consequences of what's taking place in the home and the fatherless and the fatherless generation in the home. Well, we see that our time is running short. Stay tuned for more on this series of exposing the spirit of Jezebel, the wicked spirit of Jezebel. Until next time, may God bless you. This is Evangelist Randy Brolo wishing you and blessing you to be fruitful and to multiply in Jesus' name. Amen.